South Africa has a litany of problems. Electricity supply, our roads and transport infrastructure is a mess, crime is out of control, but then there's also water. If it's not its availability, it's water quality that's the problem. Government's latest Blue Drop report found a quarter of municipalities were ranked at critical risk, with 60% of our water systems not complying with microbiological standards. Earlier this week, a team of Israeli water experts arrived in South Africa to offer their help to ailing municipalities. Dr. Clive Lipchin, an expert in wastewater management, is leading the group of academics. He spoke at an event organized by the Jewish National Fund of South Africa.
What pilot technologies do you foresee could be implemented in South Africa?
So we are looking at developing pilot projects to address specifically the issue of sanitation in off-the-grid communities. So in the case of Africa, that would be primarily the informal settlements where they do not have access to sewer grids. And so sanitation is a big problem. It's an environmental problem and it's a public health hazard. So we hope to introduce some of the technology that we have developed, which is on-site sewage treatment and recycling. So the idea is to treat the sewage on-site, so that removes the environmental and public health hazards. But by recycling the water, we're also able to return that water to the residents so that they can use that water either for small-scale farming or landscaping or any other non-consumptive use.
Leak detection that Israel is world-class at. South Africa seems to have a massive problem with it. From your work in the Free State, being in the city of Tshwane and in Johannesburg, just off the top of your head, what are some of your observations of where South Africa, what are some quick wins for South Africa?
Well, I think a quick win absolutely is to try to address leakages, because when you're losing water, you're losing money. So anything that you can do to address leakages is saving money as well. It's certainly going to be a much more effective solution than developing more water supply. I mean, think about it like this. If you invest technology in increasing your water supply, but your reticulation system is leaking, then you're losing water even though you've invested all that money. So it doesn't really make sense to invest money in increasing water supplies until you've actually done the best that you can do to minimize those leaks. And the technologies are out there to predict where leaks will happen. There's now growing technology that is not just about hardware, but about software, using all kinds of algorithms that can actually predict where leaks will happen by measuring pressure along reticulation systems. So it's those kinds of technologies that I would certainly encourage water utilities to look at and to see how they can bring them into their management systems so that they can reduce their non-revenue water. It definitely, in my opinion, would be one of the first things a utility should look at in improving water management. Absolutely.
Losses of almost 40%? I mean, that must be quite a terrible figure.
Yeah, but I'll be honest, it doesn't surprise me too much. I mean, if you take the city of Johannesburg, you know, where their infrastructure is going back 40, 50, 60 years, that's almost a given. So again, if they can get a much better level of accuracy, of resolution on where the leaks are, and it's not always, you know, the big leaks that are the problem, it's the small leaks that could be going on for years, for decades. So once they can map out effectively where the leaks are, they can then decide and prioritize which leaks should they go for first, which leaks should be fixed, so they get that prioritization. The technology in this area is very well advanced. We in Israel, just to, as a comparison, you may have 40% leakage in the Johannesburg reticulation system. In our national system, our leakage is around 12 to 15%. And that's mostly because we've invested in these technologies that really, again, it's about predicting the leaks even before they become problematic. So Johannesburg Water and Rand Water, you know, they definitely know the technologies out there, and I certainly encourage them to see how to best bring those systems online so that they can get from 40% maybe down to 25%, let's say, in the next year or two.
Dr. Lipchin, we know nothing happens in a vacuum in South Africa. There is a political context to South Africa and Israel. How have you been welcomed in South Africa in your work with the city of Tshwane, Joburg, and other places around the country?
Right. I mean, yes, I'm certainly aware of the politics revolving around South Africa-Israel relations. But all I can say is this, is that I have only been positively welcomed throughout my engagements, whether it be the city of Tshwane, Johannesburg, water, Rand water. I have a growing and developing relationship with the University of the Free State, with the area of Kwakwa, which is also an area that has a lot of very important history here within South Africa. So again, I think that a lot of the politics is, if anything, a diversion to the fact that South Africans that are working in water understand that Israel has a lot to offer and are only too happy to engage with us to solve these water problems. We simply put the politics aside and we focus on the water.
Also at the event was the General Manager of Operations at Johannesburg Water, Etienne Hichu. He has some good news for Joburg residents.
So from a water quality point of view, you know, I can put my head on a block. You know, there's nothing wrong with the water quality within the city of Johannesburg. And at the same time, you're actually situated next to our water lab, where we test over 500 samples on a monthly basis on all the water. Since we procure it from Rand Water, before our reservoirs, into our reservoirs, out of our reservoirs, within the reticulation. And like I said, we comply 99.6%, you know, which is 0.6% more than what we need to comply.
But maintenance and budget constraints are an ever-present problem for infrastructure, some of which has been in the ground for 8 decades.
The other challenge that we also sit with, you sit with your water losses, which is a big issue that we need to address. You know, currently 25% is your physical and your commercial loss, although when you look at our, if you look at your annual financial statements, we report a non-revenue water of about 39%. So the difference between the water losses and your non-revenue water is basically we know where the water is coming from, but we provide it for free, or we subsidize it through other ways and means. And that's things that we need to start addressing, because we can't continue not creating revenue for your water.
Lipshin touched on an issue South Africans are all too familiar with, our incessant blackouts. He explains what load shedding does from a water perspective.
You cannot manage any water infrastructure without energy. And of course, South Africa faces huge energy problems, and that's something that has to be addressed in parallel, in tandem with any considerations of expanding infrastructures, whether it be reservoirs, reticulation systems, pumping stations, whatever. If we do not have reliable and stable energy, you're always going to run into problems. And that, of course, puts strains on infrastructure. You know, if your energy goes down, the pressure in your pipes will change, and then it's going to exacerbate leakages, which you mentioned as well. So it's very important to understand the connections between water and energy. You really cannot manage them separately. They are very intricately interdependent.
Earlier this week, the Israeli team met with Tshwane Mayor Randall Williams. The capital city will be partnering with the team as they conduct site visits across the municipality. Lipshin didn't sugarcoat his observations on the state of wastewater management in Tshwane.
We were, for the last 2 days, with the city of Tshwane. This morning we met with the mayor. Yesterday we met with their sort of Etienne's compatriots from Tshwane. They have huge problems. Huge. I think much bigger than what Joburg is dealing with. They have, their wastewater infrastructure is completely collapsing, and so they're discharging literally raw wastewater into the river systems, which is compromising drinking water downstream. They are completely aware of this problem. They have their eyes very wide open. They understand the magnitude of the problem. We were there, we met with their people, we were taken on site, and all I can say is that we have been welcomed with open arms. There was a press release that came out from the mayor's office. We have pictures of the mayor. There was the Israeli flag on one side. There was the South African flag on the other side. Look, I'm not a politician myself, and I don't think it's that fair to put Daniel on the spot too much as well, but you're a resident, so you should obviously respond to your question. But all I can say is, from my experience,
sort of re-engaging with South Africa through water. I can only say that we've been very welcomed.
Asked by a resident whether politics would torpedo any possible collaboration between Israel and local municipalities in South Africa, DA Ward Councillor Daniel Shea had this to say.
The mayor has expressed it out previously. We are open to every idea possible to drive the city forward. We're not stuck in any ideological prisons. We're not going to let any city nonsense issues get in the way of making this city better. And whoever we need to partner with to do that is what we're going to do as a city, and she has committed to doing that. So, no, we're not going to let these things get in our way, and we have metros all over the country now that we are running, and dozens of municipalities that we are governing in coalition, and all those municipalities are open to these ideas. So we are moving away from that prison. Thank you.
Michael Apple from biznews.com.